Luke chapter 13. So good to be back in the house of the Lord. Luke chapter 13. Let's go ahead and read the first three verses again. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I believe that some this morning would deem the message unfashionable or unsuitable for this present time, but I assure you there's no better time for this message than today, when we as the world are facing a world pandemic where many people have died, many more are suffering under its virus. I think it's evident and it's relevant for us as God's people to use anything and everything that God providentially does in the world to remind the world that this world is merely a temporal place. And that eternity is something that's facing every single one of us. And that could be at any moment, at any time, and it can be anywhere. It's not uncommon for one to misinterpret the tragedies and sufferings of others and the true reasons behind those sufferings, such as these people in our text. Job's three friends, though they were filled with wisdom and knowledge of God, greatly misinterpreted not only the sufferings of Job, but God's divine purpose in allowing them to happen. You can have a lot of knowledge of Scripture, and you can have a lot of knowledge of God, but the wisdom to use that knowledge can only come from God. Read Proverbs. It's easy to obtain knowledge, but wisdom must come from God. And a lot of people, especially when others are suffering under tragedy and afflictions, a lot of people tend to misinterpret the meaning of that. I'm sure we're all aware of that as God's people. I am as a pastor. Things happen in our life and people tend to try to interpret why you're suffering. And most of the time they interpret it falsely. We never truly know what God is doing in someone else's life because God doesn't always tell you and I the purpose of what He's doing it for. The sufferings of God's people and their divine purpose are one of the greatest mysteries recorded in God's Word, and has proven to confound and amaze even the greatest, most wisest of God's children. That's why we have the book of Job. David was confounded. The Old Testament prophets were confounded. The sufferings and afflictions of God's people have always been a great mystery to God's people. And yet, if you think about it, if the judgments of God are, for the true believer, according to Romans 11, unsearchable, and His ways past finding out for the believer, how dark and mysterious they must be for the sinful, unregenerate man who knows not the way of God. Think about that for a minute. For the child of God, sometimes, if not often, it's hard to interpret why God's providentially doing what He's doing, but we have the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and oftentimes, if not more than often, God gives us a glimpse of the reasoning and the purposes behind it. But can you imagine a sinful, unregenerate man who knows not God? Such providences are very dark and mysterious, and his attempts to interpret it are always foolish. Just like today. Today's world pandemic is no different, as countless people vainly attempt to interpret and understand the divine mystery behind God's allowing such a crisis. You can call it a decree, an ordained of God, allowed of God, permitted of God. Again, it doesn't matter to me what frame, what description you give of it, God knew it. And God knows it. God allowed it, permitted it, decreed it, ordained it, whatever semantics you want to use. God wasn't into you're ignorant of it. And people are trying to interpret God's purpose behind it. You look on the internet and there's just an abyss of opinions about what God is doing. God's judging the church. God's judging the world. God's calling the world to repentance. God's calling the world to himself. As a matter of fact, you can go on the internet and you can find somebody who has the same opinion you got. It's not hard. So I've been telling people at work, and my wife as well, stay off the internet. You're gonna get a bunch of trash and opinions and philosophies. People's talking about world revival. Let me tell you something just on a personal note here. God's never used a tragedy to convert people. It's the gospel, not a tragedy. It's the gospel. People today are turning to God not because of sin and because of need of God. They're turning to get saved and redeemed from the pandemic. That's not salvation. And yet I see people posting all the time, look, Brazil's turning to God. Look, Asia's turning to God. No, they're not. They're trying to just save themselves from the pandemic. They're not trying to be saved because of their sins and because they're guilty before God. They're trying to simply be saved and redeemed from the danger of the pandemic. And unfortunately, a lot of churches are following that same false teaching and theology. How many people were converted after God closed the ark? How many people were converted after God rained fire down from Sodom and Gomorrah? The church needs to send the world a clear message, not a confused one. And the clear message, I believe, is in our text. It's amazing how God's word works, isn't it? Transcends time and eternity. This event happened thousands of years ago, but it fits our situation today so much. Because people are looking at all these people suffering and dying, and they're almost saying like these guys here, man, those guys suffered because they were sinners. So I said, no. It's a message to the living, not to the dead. And I think it's most fitting for the day and age in which we live in. Even now. And I think it's something that we as God's people need to clearly understand. And I think that every church needs to proclaim it in clarity. Okay? Whether you want to call it a judgment of God, whether you want to call it God judging the church, whatever you want to use for it, let me tell you something. It always has to do with about man's eternal soul and eternity. It has to do with God's church. Get our hearts and our minds in the right direction, even in such a crisis as it is today. These events that these men brought up to Christ, they must have been recent because they're still fresh on their minds. And so they come to Christ and you see what happened to these Galileans. I'll get there later on in closing, but they were doing a religious service and got killed. There's a good quote in there from Spurgeon about this text. You really need to read it. And I'm going to repost it later on. But there's a good quote from Spurgeon about this text. But they were doing a religious service and got killed. But evidently, it recently happened, and so these guys bring it up to Christ's attention and said, these guys must have really been sinners. Look at how much they suffered. Christ doesn't waste time. I'm getting ahead of myself, but he doesn't waste time trying to justify what happened. He doesn't waste time condemning those Galileans. He turns these men and women's attention to the present situation. He turns it to their condition. He turns it to them. That's what we have to do as the church, as Christians. Instead of allowing ourselves to be led by how the world's looking at it, we need to be able to tell the world, okay, good, people are dying, people are sick. What about you? You think you're going to be spared? You think because it didn't happen to you that you're better than others? Are you not listening to the message of this world crisis? People are dying. The message is we're all going to die. How are you looking at this? Beloved, Christ wasn't being indifferent or callous concerning the death of those Galileans. But he was very troubled that those who spoke of this great tragedy wasn't moved by this terrible event to consider their own short life and need to repent lest they likewise perish. He was concerned because the living wasn't listening to the message of this tragedy. What's God saying in all of this crisis? I don't know. I don't know the mind of God. I don't know His divine perfect will for all of this crisis. But I do know one thing. There's a message in people dying from a world pandemic. There's a message in people suffering under such a pandemic. The message is you need to realize you're not spared death. Suppose ye, he says in verse 2, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? You know, it's amazing, like I said before, it's amazing how people are quick to judge and criticize other people who are suffering afflictions and make, interpret that in their own way and fashion. You know, people a lot of times are strangers to that because it doesn't affect them. But when it affects them personally or intimately, then they look at it different. I mean, we all know what we're talking about. We suffer tragedy in our lives and we think it's far from us, but then it hits close to home and it's like, this stuff happens to other people. It don't happen to me. Why is this happening to me? This doesn't happen to me. We always look at the news as saying, that's something far away. That's something that happens to other people. It don't happen to me. I'm safe. I'm isolated. It can't get to me. I'm all right. Jeremiah 9:21 has something to say about that. Death has looked into our windows and passed into our palaces. Isolation can't keep death out. What's the message the church should be telling the world in all of this? Most churches, most sermons you listen to today, they're struggling to comfort God's people because they're the ones that's anxiously getting confused and confounded. Like Christ did with these men here and women here about the Galileans, we too as Christians must do the same thing. You don't understand. Stop looking at what happens to others. Stop looking at the afflictions and suffering in others and why they might have been persecuted or why they might suffer death or why they might contract this disease. You need to look at this and consider it yourself. What about you? What about you? Christ doesn't attempt to explain the divine purpose behind their destruction. You know, sometimes this over these past few weeks, I've really been frustrated by a lot of theologians trying to define and interpret exactly why God is doing this. You know what? Every time something like this happens, and good, we haven't had it in this measure for a long time, but when something happens in the world that's a major crisis, false teachers and false prophets come out of the woodwork. When the Iraq war started, I was a pastor of a small church in Germany. I'm telling you, the books on prophecy, man, they made a lot of money because everybody wanted to know about prophecy. And now everybody's going, listen, we got prophecy for you. This is the end times. You need to listen to this preacher. I'm getting texts and messages from people that I've friended a long time ago that saying, you need to read this. This preacher's right on the dime. He's talking about the end world prophecy. It's coming up. What are you doing? What is the purpose of God leaving His church in the world? Listen to me. Please, what is the purpose of our being here? So we can gather in a social club on Sundays and sing songs and feel good and then go home? What is the purpose of God's church in the world? What does God want His church to be actively doing in the world? What is our main mission or commission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ uses this situation to reveal unto them that they need to take consideration of their own eternal soul, their own eternal destiny. Don't be concerned about the death of these Galileans or why God allowed that to happen or what their sin was. Examine yourself. Think about it. If you can get somebody who's stuck in isolation to consider that instead of looking at the pandemic, trying to escape it, if you can get them when they're isolated in their home and nothing else to do but to think about their own eternal state, listen to me. That's the right thing to do. Why? They've got time on their hands. Nothing to keep them busy. He rebukes them for believing that those Galileans perished because they were greater sinners than they were. You remember that righteous man in Luke? Remember what he said? God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. Coleman was real quiet until they got a case in Coleman. And then people just hit the fan. Somebody's got it in Coleman. And, you know, brother and sister, you're right. We need to keep them quiet because, or who they are, keep it secret because people get crazy nowadays. Start blaming them for it. Showing up at their house, throwing rocks at them. Who knows what the world, the world's crazy. The world is absolutely crazy. And it's getting crazier all the time. Coleman was quiet until they got a case. Now Coleman's in an uproar. I tell my wife this morning, I agree with what's been said by a lot of people. Coleman's been good so far. We kept it out for a long time. That means that's pretty good. Considering Abilene, what, has over 200? Brownwood has almost, or over 20? You know, you got them all around us. I mean, it's not too bad for Coleman to just get one case, but people are getting fanatical now. They're getting almost like these guys here. What about these Galileans? Why did they bring it into, and they're starting to get fanatical. What do we do as Christians? By God's grace, point their hearts and minds in the right direction. Don't look so much at what the virus is doing. Don't look so much why other people are getting it and you're not. Don't try to justify yourself. Think about your own condition. This life is very brief. This life is very short, and you need to consider about your own shortness of life and your need to repent lest ye likewise perish. Christ isn't indifferent about people dying. But the message in the Bible has never been about the dead. That's too late. It's for the living. So many Christians and preachers today are trying vainly to justify this tragedy just in order to give some Christians some comfort and help them. We're missing the whole point here. Yes, God has a reason for all of this. And yes, we might not always know why He does what He does. And yes, we might be blind as Job was to the providence of God. John Flavel called it the dark providences of God. Yes, we might not know everything God's doing, but we know one thing. God sure is showing the world how short this life is and that death is inevitable for every human being. So why don't we remind the world of that? Isn't that what we're as a church supposed to be doing? Nay, I tell you, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Notice how he uses the phrase all. You'll all perish. If you don't repent, you'll perish just as these Galileans did. The world, beloved, hasn't changed, nor has had mankind become any wiser. Listen to me. This is the blessings of knowing something about not only church history, but world history. Especially church history. Because I think church history not only shows us the hand of God's providence through time and eternity, but it also shows us man's depravity. It reveals more than just who God is. This is the blessings of knowing something about church history. The world will not change, has not changed, and man has not become more wiser. There are countless people today, especially during this great pandemic, who will not learn from the tragedies and sufferings of others. They will not learn the lesson. They only seek to escape it, but they won't listen to the lesson. They won't listen to the message that's being sent. And that's our responsibility as God's people. This is part of being lights in the dark of the world. You follow me? We need to follow Christ's example here. I get so tired of theologians trying to interpret why God's doing this. People who do not learn from the depths of others or from the depth of others to earnestly consider the shortness of their own life and their own inevitable and unavoidable death. That's the purpose of what Christ is saying here. You need to understand, he says, not to worry about these Galileans and why they suffered such a thing, but you need to consider your own self. Consider your own self. Lest ye likewise perish. Beloved, like I said, herein lies yet another divine truth concerning the total depravity of man. The world, listen to me, the world will not be changed because of this great pandemic. Listen to me. It might change in some ways they do things, but listen to me. Please listen to me. Sinful man will not change because of this pandemic. This foolishness is God sending a world revival through this pandemic is foolishness. Like I said a couple of weeks ago in a sermon, when I was preaching in Germany in the German church, military church, and the Iraq war broke out. I mean, we only had women in church, but men had to go to Iraq that was in our church, and they'd write back and say, oh, God's doing a great revival. Every Sunday, the tents are full of soldiers in here on their knees crying out to God, and they thought this was a great big revival because they thought they were going to die. You know what happened after the Iraq war? And they all came back. They all went back to the bars. They all went back to their own life, and the churches were empty. Same thing's going to happen now. People's going to be posting all over the internet. Look, there's revival. People's turning to God. They're praying everywhere. No, they're not. They're praying that they might escape the pandemic, not because they're sinners. And when this danger subsides, you know what's going to happen? Man's going to go back to what he was doing before. Nothing's going to change. You say, well, preacher, you got to have hope that some people will. Some people will. Thank God, but the majority won't. You know all the world wars we've had? The diseases, the plagues. If you know anything about history, remember the Black Plague in Europe? If you know anything about that, killed literally thousands, if not millions of people. The world wars, the plagues, the disasters, natural disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes. People have, God has been sending this message for a long time. God has been speaking for a long time. Man hasn't changed. When the danger subsides, he goes back to what he was doing. He doesn't change. What am I saying? I'm saying such things never change the world. Preacher, what then changes? When we take these things that's happening and we apply the gospel to it, that's changing. Not the natural disaster or the epidemic itself. Are you following me? It's not the epidemic itself. It's not the virus itself. It's not the plague or the earthquake. It's when in the midst of these, like Christ is doing, he acknowledges that this happens. What's he do? But you got to repent or you'll perish likewise. I like what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon says, use anything and everything God providentially gives you to preach the gospel. He was riding on a train one afternoon and suddenly the train stopped. Just an illustration of what he meant. Train stopped. Stuck for hours. Finally, Spurgeon asked the conductor or one of the stewards of the train, what's going on with the train? Why is it stopped? He said, well, in the front wheel where the wheels turn in the front, he said, there's a little pin. That little pin, for some reason, broke, and now the wheel don't turn. And Spurgeon said, you know, the whole train was stopped by one little, seemingly insignificant pin. It stops a whole train for hours. You follow my train of thought? And throughout the world, if you know anything about church history, God's men and the church used all these tragedies to preach the gospel to tell people that were sinners they need to repent. Think about this. Think about this in relation to yourself. Think about this tragedy in relation to your own eternal soul. And think about your standing before God. What the church is doing today is trying to give the world a remedy for the danger, for the anxiety. Give them the gospel. Christ didn't hold back on this. I mean, listen to his words. He says, I tell you nay, but unless ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You're thinking, Lord, that's pretty harsh. They just talked about people dying, and the Lord don't stop there. He goes to these men at Shilom who died because the wall fell down. He said, you think they were greater sinners? He takes it even further. He gets very direct with them and said, this is what the problem is. It's not why these things happened. You don't need to know why. You don't need to where when. You don't need to justify why it was done. You need to realize these things are telling you something that you need to listen to. You need to likewise repent or you'll all likewise perish. The church gets so fooled and wrapped up with foolish things in such times as these. I mean, I heard a preacher the other day, they've been preaching on a series in a certain book, and he says, well, I feel we just need to continue on in our series here. And most sermons I listen to, now there's not all of them, I don't want to blanket say all of them. Believe me, the last few weeks I've had an opportunity to listen to a lot of sermons. Many of them made me ill, but they're spending so much time on things that are not essential. They're not taking what God has given us providentially as a church to warn the world. One of the greatest preachers here, and though I don't believe in, or don't, I'm not in agreement with all his doctrinal beliefs, but he had a good moral sense about himself and gospel sense about himself, that when there was a great tragedy, he used that to preach the gospel of Christ. John Wesley used the tragedy in London to get up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at church history. Whenever tragedies happen, God's men and God's people used it to preach the gospel. That's not what's happening today. Have you noticed that? If you haven't, look on the internet. That's not what's happening. We need to follow Christ's example. Nay, I tell you, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Simply because you escaped such a tragedy, your life still hangs on a thread. I liked how Jonathan Edwards said it in his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He said, your life's on a thread hanging over hell, just on a thin thread. And that thin thread can break at any moment. When you look at all these people dying, when you look at all these people suffering, don't be like these men and run off into your homes and isolate yourself and think about yourself. Use this to tell people, to show people the brevity of life and their need to repent. Preach the gospel and let them know that's what saves. Disasters don't save. Like I said, man's going to return back to his normal self and he's going to be more sinful than ever. Look at church history. After every great tragedy, man becomes more sinful. You watch what happens. Every tragedy brings out the worst in men as well. I mean, when this whole thing happened, people start hoarding all these things, man, it's selfish. When this is all over, the world's going to be in worse shape than it was before. Oh, people say, oh, we're going to have a better economy, we're really strong. Okay, that's all good and fine and dandy, but I'm telling you, sinful man is going to be worse than he ever was before. History has proven that. And you know why? Because they make a feigned profession of God during the tragedy, and they turn around and forget God afterwards. That puts a man in a worse spiritual condition than before. It was better that he knew not nothing. Remember? Listen to the scriptures. Listen to the language of scripture. It's better that he never knew the way of God than to accept it or acknowledge it and then turn away from it. Listen to me. This is how preachers in the past, Christians in the past, looked at these things. The urgency of it. You don't understand. You need to turn now. You need to understand your need of Christ now. Because if you don't, you're going to be more hardened by sin when it subsides, that it's going to be virtually impossible. You know why John the Baptist could preach so well? You know what his message was? Flee from the wrath to come. How could he preach so well on that? John the Baptist felt the wrath. You listen to me? He felt it. He didn't just say, oh, flee the wrath to come because I'm a theologian. I understand everything about eternity and hell and all this stuff. He preached it because he felt it. He knew it. George Whitfield called it Christ felt preaching. We as Christians look at this, I hope and pray, and we see the hand of God. This is God merely, and I don't want to be irreverent to God, but this is God merely sneezing in what God can do. We see what God can do. Why don't we sense the urgency of that in telling the world, you're not looking at this right? You need to look at this right. You need to repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. Like I said before, the majority of people today are seeking God in hopes that He might deliver them from the pandemic. That's why they're seeking God. They want to be delivered from the pandemic. They want to be delivered from the virus. They don't want to get sick. That's humanly understandable. I'm not condemning that. But that isn't what we should be telling them. It's not the pandemic you should worry about. It's what happens after death that you should worry about. You're not out of its reach. And while it's fresh on your mind, you need to consider. So I hope whoever hears this message this morning or even later when we put it up, I hope in your isolation you'll take the moment and consider this in regards to your own eternal state. Good. New York might be having much more than Coleman. There's only one in Coleman, but death is not far from you and I. It's very real, and it's on everybody's mind right now. Tell them about God. Tell them about their need of Christ. Feel the urgency. Sense the urgency. And then preach Christ. Because they're not spared from death. I'm sorry so many people have died from this. Probably be on the tape too. I am sorry so many people have died from this. And I know Christ wasn't indifferent about the Galileans dying. But the reality was they died unrepentant. And Christ said, you need to notice that. Not try to figure out why they did. They died unrepentant. They perished. Don't let that happen to you. I like Spurgeon's quote on this because he mentions that these were religious services they were doing. And he talks very, very clearly about the fact that many people, they go to church every Sunday, they go through the worship services, they do all of that just like these Galileans, and they still die and perish because they never were repentant. Have you ever repented of your sins? I'm so sickened by this new theology going around, even though it's not new, but they call it new. It does away with repentance. I know someone very dear to my heart that quotes this verse, but doesn't use lest ye repent, because they say that's only in the King James, and that's not what God wants you to do. They do away with repentance. Christ wasn't indifferent. He was troubled that they weren't considering this in their own situation. Who's listening? Who's listening to this pandemic? Who's listening to all these deaths and sufferings? Who, like Christ, would say, okay, good, true, it's happening. But how does it relate to you and your need of God? believe me, and I don't want to repeat myself, but it's true. The world's not going to be better after this. It's going to be worse. The church is going to suffer. I said that before this even started. I'm not a prophet. I'm just simply saying the church is going to suffer after this. Because many more people are going to see the need not to go to church. It's a lot easier to sit in my pajamas at home. Things are going to change. You know, when Israel was sent off to Babylon, you do realize there was only a remnant that went back, right? You know why only a remnant went? Because the majority of them got to feel at home in Babylon. They liked it. But there was that remnant, like Nehemiah, read first chapter, breaks my heart. He was grieved. He was grieved because the walls were not built. The temple was not built. He was so grieved, the king seen his countenance and said, "What troubles you?" He said, "Oh, my people." There's going to be a remnant come out of this. They, I believe, are going to be stronger and more resolute and more determined to serve Christ. God give us a remnant, that we might have the same spirit as Daniel and three Hebrew children, Nehemiah and Ezra. Listen to me in closing. This is something somebody told me one time. One of the strangest things to understand is revival. And I believe that. Heard Peter Masters one time on that, good sermon on it. But it is. It's one of the strangest things in the world to understand. It's hard to understand. People think they can cause revival. You can't. It's the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But when God does send a revival, it's always temporary. The revival itself is temporary. The effects of a revival are lifelong. That's the difference. You watch when this danger subsides, how many people turn their back on God and church. They're not in danger anymore. God give us Christian men and women who will be resolute through all of this. God give us grace to tell the world what this thing is trying to say, this catastrophe, this pandemic, what it's trying to say to the world. Ye also must repent, lest ye likewise perish. God give us grace to preach the gospel in light of this tragedy while it's fresh on their minds, because soon the tragedy will be over and they won't want to hear anything about it. Let us use this present situation like Christ did. Be bold, be upfront, be direct. Amen? Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others might hear. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Luke chapter 13. We thank you for allowing us to come back into your house. Lord, we're fixing to leave this place of worship and go out into a world that's troubled, full of anxiety, hysteria. People are looking for answers, and many people are giving them false hope. Lord, help us as your children to follow Christ's example. Lord, that we might direct them to their need of Christ. And that, Lord, though we're moved by the death of many, we're not indifferent. We're not apathetic. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to use this tragedy, this catastrophe that you have providentially brought in the world to tell the world their need of Christ. Not merely redemption from the danger, but redemption of their own eternal soul. Father, give us grace, we pray, to send a clear message to a world that's dying. Lord, we pray that you'd keep us, watch over us, use us in your service. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Who would be interested in coming on